Hey, good morning. I'm so delighted to be with you today. I was in my office last week thinking through this message and thinking through the Beatitudes, and the word for blessed in the Beatitudes is mercurii, mercurios, and it means fortunate, lucky, happy, like satisfied, fulfilled, and we've been talking about this, and I just, my mind got distracted. I don't know if you're like me, but my mind, those of you who had class with me, you know this, true, right? My mind just kind of follows every squirrel in class, which is almost every student, actually. And we just go on rabbit trails and squirrels to rabbits. I don't know what just happened there in my head. But my mind just kind of drifts all the time. I don't know if you're like that. I had a daydream while I was thinking about this. Can I share my daydream with you? Would that be okay? Yeah. Would that be okay? You don't want to hear it? Do you want to hear my daydream? Okay, so Bill Kuhn was in it. Do you want to hear it now? Okay. No, Bill says. So Bill and I were walking on this beautiful path, and my mind just kind of went here. We were on this beautiful path in one of the most gorgeous places I've ever seen or daydreamed in my life. And there were mountains, there were those Simpsons clouds, you know, those puffy white clouds in the sky. It was beautiful and blue and everything. It was great. There were birds chirping. There was a lake off to the right, and it was like sparkling and glittery and beautiful, and fish were like jumping, and every time they came out of the water, they would sing like, ah, and then they'd go back in the water, and I'm like, this place is amazing. And then I'm like, Bill, this is amazing. We're really blessed. And he goes, we're not blessed. And I was like, what? And he goes, oh, you just need to wait, Ken. And then all of a sudden, dolphins, I don't know why they're in a lake, but they were in a lake. And they come up out of the lake. They start doing flips. They've got a beach ball. They, like, toss it to Bill with their nose. And Bill does, like, a Harlem Globetrotter thing with a beach ball. He sends it back. And they're, like, talking to Bill, but not in English, like dolphinish they're speaking. And they're like, or whatever dolphins do, right? And then they're tossing this beach ball back and forth. And Bill's going, yeah, I know. Yes, I'm ready. Yes, I will. It'll be okay, I know. Yes, it's going to cost, I know. And they're going back and forth, and they're like, the king dolphin. He like comes out of the water, and he's doing that trick that dolphins do where they come out of the water with their tail, and they're like doing that, right? And he's like standing in the water with his, you know, on his flipper, and he's talking with Bill, and Bill goes, I'm ready, I'm ready. And the dolphin says something in dolphinish to him and then goes away. I'm like, what is going on, Bill? So I don't think this was a real event, but it was a dream. And then we kept walking, and I'm like, what, Bill, what is going on? The blessing will come, Ken. The blessing will come, he says to me. And I'm like, okay. And we walk around, and we go into this ancient woods. And I told you my mind goes crazy sometimes. And we walk into this ancient woods, and it's like old trees. And there's creatures living all at the roots of these trees and in the bushes. And the canopy is high, and it should be dark, but it's brilliantly light in there. And it's amazing. And there's like skittles falling out of the leaves. And there's candy that little deer are coming and eating off the ground, like marshmallow candy. And there's little rainbows behind bushes. And it's just kind of weird. I'm like, what is going on? And then I see, stepping out from behind this tree, the largest horse I've ever seen in my life. And it's like this white stallion of a horse. And he's like, and Bill goes back to him. And they have a conversation. I don't know what's being said. But then all of a sudden, I notice this isn't a horse at all, because on his head is like the longest horn sticking straight out of his head, like a 4-foot pointy horn. And it's like this. And I go, that's a unicorn. And Bill goes, duh. And the king unicorn, he goes, bow to me. And Bill gets on his knees. I bow to you, King Unicorn. And I'm like, what is going on? And then all of a sudden I hear this, back off, Dad. And I look over, and it's my son, Zach. And he's on top of another unicorn. And I look around, and there's a whole herd of unicorns everywhere. And they're looking at me going, back off, Ken. Don't stop this. Bill has to go through this. And I'm like, Bill. And he's like, leave me alone. And Zach's like, back off, Dad. And these unicorns start yelling at me. And I'm freaking out. And the next thing I know, the king unicorn says, Bill, are you ready? And Bill says, yes. And Bill arches his chest out and his arms back, and the unicorn lowers his spearhead and starts walking towards Bill, and Bill's going like this. I'm like, Bill, what are you doing, Bill? And the unicorn just keeps coming, and all the other unicorns lower their heads, and they start coming at me, and they're like, it'll be okay, Ken. And they get closer and closer. I'm like, Bill, we got to get out of here, Bill. And Bill goes, it's the blessing, Ken, it's the blessing. And I'm like, no, Bill. And the horn of the unicorn, the king unicorn's getting close. Bill, stop. And the other unicorns are coming in, and just as the horn of the unicorn pierces Bill's heart, explosion of color, and I wake up at my desk going, what in the world just happened? That's all true. That is where my mind, well, the dream probably isn't true, but I did dream it. And I'm like, Lord, what was that about? And I think somewhere back in my mind I had learned something. And do you know what a gathering of geese is called? Right? It's a flock, right? A gathering of cows, it's a herd. A gathering of lions, a pride, gathering of giraffes. Does anybody know that one? It's a tower, so I don't know what was said, but it's a tower. How about a gathering of unicorns? It's called a blessing. Gathering of unicorns is called a blessing. And I'm like, Lord, what is going on? And I knew that back somewhere in my head, and I daydreamed, this is what a blessing is. It's a gathering of unicorns. And Jesus, is he talking about a gathering of unicorns? And I thought, you know, a blessing seems nice at first. It seems like a magical wish, like everything will come true. This will be amazing until we count the cost of a blessing. Until we realize how dangerous a blessing is in our life. Until we realize what a blessing actually is. Costs. And I think this is something that we take flippantly when we think about blessing. We think, Lord, bless me. We pray this all the time. Lord, would you bless my test? I know I haven't studied for it, but would you bless me? Lord, would you bless my grandma? I know I haven't reached out to her for a couple of years, but would you just bless her today? She's not feeling very good. Lord, would you bless this relationship with this girl, even though I'm not putting forth any effort? Would you just bless this relationship? Lord, would you bless me with wealth and resources? Lord, would you bless me with this? Would you bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me? In other words, we treat God like he's a unicorn, and give me some magical wish, God, today. But when Jesus talks about blessing, there's like this frightening, piercing cost to it. It's something that we don't actually want, at least not on the surface. Do you remember that time that the rich man approached Jesus and he said, Teacher, what do I need to do to have eternal life? In other words, Lord, what do I need to do to have an entire blessed life forever? And Jesus said, well, follow all the commands. And the guy goes, well, I've done that, obviously. What else do I need to do? Because he was lacking something. He's like, I've got all this stuff. I'm rich. I'm youthful. I've followed all the commands. I've been good. But I'm missing something, Lord. I need, teacher, like, how do I get blessed? And so Jesus says, well, sell everything you've got and follow me. And it says the rich man walks away sad because he counted the cost of discipleship. And he didn't want it. And I think people think they want to be blessed until they realize the cost. And so as we've been going through this, oh, there's the unicorn. As we've been going through the Beatitudes, I want us to see the words a little bit differently. So I'm going to read the Beatitudes real quick, and I want you to see an alternative set of words to describe these. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. So in other words, imagine this conversation. Hey, Jesus, what do I need to do to be blessed? Well, blessed are the poor in spirit. No, Jesus, maybe you didn't hear what I said. I said blessed. I didn't say like becoming poor. Like, what do I need to not be blessed? Like, Jesus, how do I be blessed? Like, tell me that. All right. Blessed are those who mourn. No, they're not. No, not into that. So how about something else? Jesus, what else you got? Well, blessed are those who are meek. No, they're not. Come on. They get stepped on. Blessed are those, all right, who hunger and thirst for right now. Jesus, hungry and thirsty. Come on, there's got to be something more fulfilling on the front end, right? I mean, you can't be filled by being starving. That doesn't make any sense, Jesus. That's no good. So what else you got? All right, blessed are the merciful. No, they're going to get what's coming to them if they've hurt me. Okay, blessed are the pure in heart. Come on, we all know that's not true. Come on, there's no fun in that. Blessed are the peacemakers. No, they get shot in the back. Okay, blessed are those who are persecuted. Jesus, seriously? You're way off. I'm asking you for blessing. I'm asking you for now. I'm asking you for this and that. For blessing. And I think the idea of asking for blessing from God seems like a good idea in the moment, but the desires of our heart are for fortune and luck now. They're a magical wish in some dreamland, and not for the posture of poverty and the posture of a purity of heart that Jesus demands. I think we have such a distracted world that we're tempted to try to add things to our life to gain the blessing now, to steal God's blessing now in the way that I want. So today we're going to look at Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And I think this is such an important message in a distracted world. How do we have a purity of heart, and how do we see God in a world that is so disrupted and corrupted? How do we live in uncompromised core integrity in our hearts? We're distracted people. We're distracted by disruption, and we're distracted by corruption. And as a result, we can't see God. We don't know where he is. We don't know what he's doing. We don't see his effects. We don't see him at work. We don't even see who we are in him. We have distractions of disruption. You know what I'm talking about. We have these busy lives, and we fill our lives with all kinds of things. We have these phones. Is there a phone under there, Bill? We have these phones that just distract us and disrupt us all the time. And the irony is they were sold to us saying, this will help you focus your life. This will help you focus all of your thoughts and energy and everything you do right into this device. This will rescue you. This will be a blessing to you. And so we bought it. And then during mealtime, it's like we can't even have a conversation with somebody because we're constantly disrupted. Let alone have a conversation with God. Our whole life is too busy, it's too full, it's disrupted. We're like Peter. And once we find ourselves going towards God, we get disrupted and we see the winds and the waves of life and we start to sink because we're distracted by disruption. It's like we have ADD of the heart, an attention deficit disorder of our heart. We're also distracted by corruptions, and you know what I'm talking about. And it's hard to see God when we are corrupted. God is holy. Can I get an amen on that? God is holy. He is separated from impurity, and when we have impurity in our heart, then we can't be with God who is good and trustworthy and praiseworthy and pure when we are not those things. And so our ability to see God clearly is hindered, where our ability to focus on him is blurred and distracted. A distracted heart is just simply an impure heart. It's an unhealthy heart. It doesn't do its job. It inhibits the proper flow of oxygen to the soul, so to speak. It messes with our life circulation system. It beats out of rhythm. It's an atrial fib. And it has dysthymia. And it's out of rhythm. It's in arrest. It's in attack. And we fall because our heart is unhealthy. An impure heart makes everything in life more difficult, because we're trying to find the blessedness that we were created to have, and we're accessing that in every other way but Christ. We're looking for it. That's why we keep grabbing onto stuff. That's why we keep putting our eyes on things. But as an analogy, when the heart is distracted, it becomes really hard to focus on God. So Jesus radically, revolutionarily, counterculturally says, "Blessed are those who are not distracted in their heart, and they will see God. Blessed are those who are pure focused in their desire, and they will see God." Seeing God is the natural outcome of an undistracted heart. It's the natural created order of things. It just makes sense. Hey, so I've made a pH scale, a pure heart scale. As humans, we really do want to have a pure heart. We really do want to see God, but we struggle. We struggle to just be purely with Jesus. And we've created a whole system so that we can try to have a pure heart, so that we can try to see God. In the Old Testament, for instance, as you know from your Old Testament classes, the Old Testament builds this whole system of trying to help the people of Israel to see God. So they've built remembrances so that people who are disrupted in their sight of God can have remembrances of Ebenezers and prayers and feasts and festivals, and oh yeah, this is what it's supposed to be like. Oh yeah, I got a little off there and a little distracted. Now I'm back on. Thanks for this festival. Thanks for this other gathering. Thanks for this other thing. And so they've added these things to their life, and the remembrances of the sacrifices and the sacrificial system would help a corrupted-hearted people to find forgiveness and cleansing of their sins so that they could be pure and for a moment at least see God clearly. The problem is when either of these becomes a religious filler in exchange for purity, or a religious escape in exchange for purity, then the pendulum swings between a lazy system and a worky system. And on the lazy side, this is familiar to a lot of us. It's like, hey, I can do just enough. And if I'm just good enough, and if I go to just enough things, then I'll remember God just enough that he'll have grace on me. If I take it for granted, it's really not that big of a deal because I can just get kind of made back right with God in a lazy fashion. I can just show up to the bare minimum. I can just do the bare minimum. But that's not pure-hearted, is it? And we know that. That's a very distracted heart. That's a binge heart. That's a binge heart that says, I can do whatever I want here, and then I can show up and confess and be made right, and it's all cool. And over time, God's like, do you have a relationship with me or not? Do you want to see me in your life or not? Do you want to get the distractions of your life that aren't making you happy or fulfilled? Do you want to get rid of those or not? Do you want to turn and come to me or not? And some of us on the worky side, we're like, oh, I'll show God that I deserve to be blessed. And we work really hard and we do all the right things and we avoid all the bad things and we're always active, always doing stuff for God. And then when it comes time to pray, we're like, God, look what I've done. Now bless me. And God's like, are you a whitewashed tomb? What is it you want from me? Do you want me or do you want my blessing? Which is it? Do you want what I offer you or do you want me? And we pendulum swing from this lazy to worky, lazy to worky. And the ridiculous thing is all we have to do is be childlike in our focus on God. To be undistracted in our heart, unbridled, unadulterated. That's all we have to do. It's so simple. But we're like, God, can I have you and this phone? Can I have you and this show? Can I have you and this girl? Can I have you and this thing? Can I have this additive, this additive, this additive, this additive, this additive? The The pure focus of our heart, however, where we're able to see God, where we're able to discover what life is truly about, where we can be known and know. With that kind of Zacchaeus moment that happens, where we cast aside every premise of ourselves and we climb that tree and we're like, Jesus, I've got to see Jesus. And he looks at us in the eye and says, I'm coming to your house. I will be with you and you will find blessedness. This childlike abandon, how do we get there? Hebrews 12. Let's cast off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Perseverance means going through severance, cutting off something and going through that. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. By fixing our eyes on Jesus, the impurity of our heart, which has separated us from the life that we are supposed to have, that impurity is going to be washed away. Everybody, every single one of us needs a new heart. Every single one of us needs a new heart. But we can't do it ourselves. We need someone uncorrupt, someone undisrupted, who can focus his attention on us to wash us, renew us, and recreate our hearts. And there's only one who can do that. And his name is Jesus. There is no greater demonstration of a pure heart than the heart of Jesus. He came to give sight to the blind. He came to unclog some arteries and give some pacemakers for the soul. He looked upon all he had made and he said, this is really good. And then he looked upon those he had made and he was grieved because they'd become distracted in their hearts and they were no longer looking at God first. And then he set his eyes to the cross and he never wavered. And then with a poor spirit, a poverty of spirit, and then in a grieving soul, a posture of mourning, and then with unrivaled meekness that the world had never seen, hungry and thirsty for righteousness, he looked upon you and he gave you mercy. And he made peace with you. While we were still sinners, he was persecuted, insulted, for his name's sake. Jesus is the Beatitudes. He is every single one. And he is the most blessed one ever. And so if you want to be blessed, then actually what you really want is Jesus. Jesus is in the business of helping people see. Do you want to see? Or do you want to keep living a very distracted life that will never bring you the contentment and fulfillment that you think this purchased item or this stolen thing or this shortcut will bring? Jesus told Nicodemus, a worky guy, he said, no one can see the kingdom of heaven unless they are born again. Do you want to see? David, with a corrupted, distracted heart, he cried out, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. David knew he couldn't earn it himself. He couldn't escape it and then hope that everything would be okay. He had to deal with it. And the only way to deal with it was to get a heart transplant. To have the old one cut out and a new one given. Ezekiel 36, 26, God promises, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your old heart and give you a heart of flesh. Or maybe as Kanye West has said it on his new album, pure as water, like a newborn daughter. Born again. Baptized in Jesus, childlike and pure. So the question is, do you want to see? There's a story in Mark 10, blind Bartimaeus. Do you know this guy? He's blind, been blind a long time, and he's crying out as Jesus walks by and the crowds are going by, and he cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him. They insulted him. They persecuted him. They're like, "Shut up. He doesn't want you." But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped everybody. He's like, "Whoa, whoa. Call him over." So they called to the blind man, like, "Cheer up. He's calling you. Get on your feet. He's calling you." And so, this is so cool. What he does is he throws his cloak aside. He casts it aside, and he jumps up to his feet, and he came to Jesus, and Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "I want to see." "Go," Jesus said. "Your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight, and you know what he did? He followed Jesus. He had a pure heart for Jesus, and then he could see him, and he's like, "I'm not looking at anything else. I want to see." So today, I want to give you a little pure heart start guide. And step one is simple. The Bible talks about it all the time. Rid yourself of the distractions. If you have distractions of disruption in your life, let God reveal one of them to you right now, and then make it your aim this week to abstain from that distraction of disruption. If there's something that's getting in the way and interrupting you having a pure heart or living a life for God, what is it that God wants you to get rid of? If you have a distraction of corruption, let God reveal to you one thing that's corrupting your soul, corrupting your heart, causing impurity, and what is it that you can get rid of? But it's not just about abstaining from something. It's not just that discipline. It's also a discipline of engagement. Now that you're getting rid of something, it's like Isaiah 58. You get rid of stuff, but then what are you going to engage yourself in? What are you going to do? And so I would encourage you to do something that God is doing. Look for what he's into and do that. What is on God's pure heart? And then do that. Work alongside God. Participate in relationship with him, just as a kid would participate with a parent with a blast in their heart. Go for it. Engage in something that God's doing, and you're going to find freedom in your soul. The third step is, I want to challenge you. Would you quit asking God to bless you? Just for a week. Instead, ask God to let you see him. Ask God to give you eyes in your heart to see him purely. And guess what? You'll be blessed. We have our order, our priorities wrong. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you." Are you tired of a distracted life? Do you want to see God? I want to pray for you right now, and I want to give you an invitation. Some of you need to be born again. Some of you have been lazy and disrupted in faith, corrupted in faith. Some of you have been worky, and you've been relying on your own efforts, and you're like, "Why can't I see God?" And all Jesus is saying is, "Me. Look to me." I want to give you an invitation to receive Jesus today. And if you've already done so, I want to give you an invitation to receive him again. Colossians 2:6, "Just as you've accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, continue to do so. Continue to follow him. Continue to live for him. Don't be distracted. Don't be disrupted. Live freely for Jesus." Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for the reminder. Oh, to be blessed by you is such a radical thing. Lord, it brings fear to my soul. I know there's things in my life that distract me from you. This week, would you help me to take some steps to get rid of those things and instead to engage in what your Spirit is at work doing in my life and in the life of the world around me? Jesus, I think there's some here today that need to surrender, to cast off things and let you carry them to the cross and then to bury them in a grave. And then, Jesus, you want to give us new life. Thank you for dying on the cross and taking our distractions upon your shoulders. Thanks for tearing that veil which separated us so we couldn't see you, but now we can. Thank you, Lord, for clearing the way. Thank you for giving me forgiveness for my sin as I give them to you. Please come and live within me, dwell within me by your Spirit, and make me new. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen. Hey, if any of you would like to pray with one of us, I know Bill would love to do that. There's others here who don't have an 11 o'clock class. We would love, Karen, I know, was interested in praying. And so we would love to pray with you. God bless you, and I mean that. Go in his peace. Amen.